Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Every year, Americans buy 50 billion bottles of water. Yes, that is 50 billion with a B. A lot of that water comes from the most drought-ridden parts of the country. According to a Mother Jones report, if you drink bottled water, there's a good chance that it comes from California. Arrowhead, Crystal Geyser, Aquafina, and Dasani all collect water from the ground or the tap in California. Mother Jones also recently reported that the Ethos Bottled Water Company, which was acquired by Starbucks in 2005, gets its water from a Safeway bottling plant in Merced. The Merced Sun Star reports that the plant pulls groundwater from city wells to be bottled and sold. The paper also reports that Nestle Waters North America uses water from springs in the San Bernardino National Forest. The water is bottled and sold as Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring water. And the Wall Street Journal recently reported that Nestle is planning to spend even more money on new plants to also add different flavors to water, like lemon water, for example. Now, local residents are speaking out against using public water for private bottling operations. And because of the drought, this issue is getting a lot of media attention. So how much water is taken from the ground and the tap to bottle and sell? Well, it's hard to know because state agencies do not keep track. The bottled water industry says it uses 0.02% of all the water used in California every year. So on today's Your Call, we continue our week-long series on California's water crisis by talking about the $110 billion global bottled water industry. Why are bottled water companies allowed to take water from drought-ridden California? And why do so many Americans buy bottled water? Today, we're joined by Mark Schlossberg, National Organizing Director with Food and Water Watch, an organization that works to ensure the food and water we consume is safe. Mark runs the Take Back the Tap campaign, which encourages consumers to make the switch to tap water. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So I have to say, when we were doing research for the show and I read that Americans buy 50 billion bottles of water, I had to reread that a bunch of times because it's such a huge number. You've been working on these issues for 15 years. What are the major changes you've seen?
Well, I mean, this has been a really fantastic marketing campaign by the bottled water industry that relies in part on consumers' fear about the safety of tap water, which is extensively tested. The bottles are marked up dramatically from the actual cost of tap water. It costs about 2,400 times more to drink bottled water than it does to drink tap water, and bottled water is in many ways less regulated. So, you know, this is really a disturbing trend. But it's something that people are becoming more and more aware about and have been fighting back. There's been numerous documentaries about this subject, Flow, Tapped, Thirst, and others that have really highlighted the impacts of bottled water on communities and on our global environment. What we really should be doing is continuing to invest in and strengthen our public water infrastructure so that clean, accessible water is available to all. Water should be recognized and is in California as a human right, and bottled water does not serve a useful public purpose in that regard.
You brought up a number of points there. So first off, the cost. It's 2,400 times more to drink bottled water than tap water, because I've seen bottles go from anywhere from about $1 to $3.50, or if you're at sporting events or a concert, they can go as high as $5 a bottle.
Yeah, well, that would be even higher. So to put it in perspective, a gallon of tap water costs 0.4 of a cent. A gallon of gasoline costs about $2.42 a gallon. Well, that's nationally. California is more. And a gallon of single-serving water bottles, if you add it up to a gallon, would cost about $9.47.
Wow.
So it's dramatically higher. And it really is quite a clever marketing scheme, but it doesn't serve the public interest.
Now, I mentioned some of the companies in the intro. Mother Jones has been doing some good reporting on this and found Arrowhead, Crystal Geyser, Aquafina, and Dasani all collect water from the ground or the tap in California. Mother Jones just had a report about Ethos bottled water, which was acquired by Starbucks in 2005, and it gets its water from a plant in Merced. Nestle uses water from springs in San Bernardino. How much are these companies paying for the water they get from either the ground or the tap in California? Do we know?
Well, there's 108 bottled water plants in California. And in addition to the Mother Jones reporting, the Desert Sun has done some really extensive reporting about Nestle, which is really good, too, about the lack of scrutiny that their water facilities have received. What they pay depends. Sometimes if they're taking it from municipal tap, they may pay what the consumer rate is, or they may pay something lower. If they're pumping groundwater, there might not be any fee for it because groundwater is very unregulated in California, and they may pay just a small permit. For example, according to Desert Sun Report, Nestle on their facility in Strawberry Creek in the San Bernardino National Forest has been paying a nominal permit fee of about $524 a year. So this is something that the water companies are getting at a very low price, packaging it and selling it to consumers at a very high price.
So explain how that works. The National Forest collects a permit fee of $524 from Nestle every year. What does Nestle get in return?
Well, actually, this is a permit that, as the Desert Sun reported, this is a permit that hasn't been reviewed since 1988. So it's essentially a lapsed permit that they're continuing to pay on and operate under. And, you know, they're drawing tens of millions of gallons of a year each year from springs. And the government isn't really looking at the ecological impacts of it. As was highlighted in the Desert Sun reporting, the Forest Service has not really evaluated what the impact is. The impact is, you know, escalates when there's a drought because the amount of water available in the ecosystem is much lower. And the paper interviewed former Forest Service employees, including a biologist, who said that they were taking too much water. So we're in a drought right now in California, and we need to really be looking at these things with a lot of scrutiny. And bottling our water for sale shouldn't really be part of that that equation.
You know, this brings to mind the fact that so many of us are disconnected from our food and disconnected from bottled water. I mean, we see it, you know, bought in these massive pallets from like Costco, for example. Like people's trunks are full of bottled water. And let's talk a little bit about how the water actually gets to the bottle, because according to the piece you just mentioned, the Desert Sun, from wells that we're talking about Nestle here again, from wells that tap into springs high on the mountainside in the San Bernardino National Forest, water gushes down through the pipe to a roadside tank. From there, it's transferred to tanker trucks, hauled to a bottling plant, and sold as Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. What else do we need to know about how the water actually gets to the bottle?
Well, that's for that one plant. That's a description. Some of the water, as I think you mentioned earlier, comes from municipal sources. So it's basically the same as tap water. And they filter it and put it into a bottle and resell it with some branding and packaging on it that makes it look more attractive. So these are all, you know, involved in the bottling process. There's a tremendous amount of energy that's used. The Pacific Institute found in 2007 that the U.S. bottled water consumption had that energy input equivalent of between 32 and 54 million barrels of oil. So that's a lot of energy. That's enough to fuel between 1.2 and 2.1 million cars annually. There's a lot of energy that goes into it in terms of making the bottle, the plastics, trucking it, shipping it. All these things take energy, and that contributes to, you know, additional contribution to climate change. And also, you know, the plastic bottles also pollute the environment. So there's a lot of pollution going on when they're talking about bottled water as well.
And isn't it true that it takes about 1,000 years to decompose a plastic bottle in landfill?
That sounds about right. These bottles are, you know, theoretically they're recyclable, but most of them are not. Over 70% of them aren't really recycled. They end up in landfills or incinerated or, you know, in our streams and lakes and oceans. And there's a well-documented problem with plastics in the ocean.
Right.
And this contributes to that.
Now, if we put the bottles in the blue bin, will they be recycled?
Well, they should be recycled. I'm not an expert on recycling, but from what I've read, the recycling of plastics may not be quite as efficient. But that's sort of a, you know, sort of beside the point because the overwhelming majority of them are not recycled.
Well, and so my next question to you.
There's a lot of energy that goes into all of that.
Right.
And it's a lot more environmentally sound, energy saving, and cost conscious to use tap water, and that we should be investing and make sure that our tap water continues to be clean and accessible for generations to come.
Well, and so my next question was going to be, if Americans buy 50 billion bottles of water a year, but they only recycle 30% of them, why aren't people just throwing them in recycling bins?
Well, in different places, there's different accessibility of recycling. I can't tell you what motivates people not to try and recycle, but I know that there's, you know, different availability of recycling. Of course, here in the East Bay, we have a lot of availability, but that's not the case everywhere. But I think the larger point is that even if every single bottle were recycled, it's still energy intensive and costly to consumers, and is not something that should be thought of as a replacement for clean and accessible tap water.
So let's talk about this. Why do so many Americans buy bottled water? Again, 50 billion bottles every year.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is there's been a tremendous marketing campaign by the bottled water companies to prey on people's fears about water, to try and sell a product that they pitch as more pure or more clean, when in fact it's not. And this marketing has had a big impact. Secondly, I think that they've really tried to, you know, kind of sell it as convenience at the same time that our government's been spending less in, you know, public water infrastructure. I mean, when I grew up, there were water fountains all over the place, and you could drink from those water fountains and get hydrated. And we really need to reinvest in our water infrastructure to make sure that we have these accessible water fountains and fill stations. But, you know, this has really been a tremendous marketing campaign by the bottled water industry. The largest factor, I think, is trying to sell their product as something that's better or more pure. And we know from studies that that is not the case. Bottled water is not as regulated as tap water. And there have been studies from independent groups that have found contaminants in bottled water. So to sell this as and we know that a lot of the bottled water just comes from the tap. So to sell this as a more pure product is just not correct. And consumers should feel that it's safer and that it's a more cost-conscious thing to just drink from the tap.
What kind of contaminants have been found in bottled water?
Well, Environmental Working Group investigated 10 major bottle brands and found roughly 8 contaminants per brand, including, and I'm not saying that there were necessary, I don't know the levels of these contaminants, but there were, you know, things like disinfection byproducts, fertilizer residue containing nitrates and ammonia and other sort of industrial chemicals. Now, this is not to say that, you know, people should be scared unnecessarily. But I do want to just point out that this bottled water is not superior to tap water. And what the industry has been doing to try and sell it as so is not accurate.
Mark Schlossberg is National Organizing Director with Food and Water Watch, an organization that works to ensure the food and water we consume is safe. He runs the Take Back the Tap campaign, which encourages consumers to make the switch to tap water. And today we are continuing our series on California's water crisis by talking about the $110 billion global bottled water industry. Every year, Americans buy 50 billion bottles of water, and a lot of that water comes from California. According to Mother Jones, Arrowhead, Crystal Geyser, Aquafina, and Dasani all collect water from the ground or the tap in California. Also, Ethos bottled water is now under scrutiny for getting its water from a Safeway plant in Merced, and Ethos was acquired by Starbucks back in 2005. So if you have any questions about this, and also if you buy bottled water, why do you buy bottled water? And what are your thoughts on the information that you're hearing about where the water comes from? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Why do you think so many Americans buy bottled water? And do you think bottled water companies should be allowed to take water from drought-ridden California? Toll-free number 866- 866-798-8255. In about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Joe Doss, who's the CEO of the International Bottled Water Association. So if you have any questions for the industry, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. And now I would like to welcome Kaleen Sisk to the show. Kaleen is a tribal chief of the Winnemem Wintu tribe, whose ancestral territory is from Mount Shasta down the McLeod River. In 2005, Kaleen and tribal members protested a plan by Nestle to open a bottling plant in McLeod on the outskirts of Mount Shasta. Nestle scrapped the plan in 2009, but Crystal Geyser is planning to bottle water and other drinks later this year at another plant at the base of Mount Shasta. Hi, Kaleen. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's great to have you. So, Kaleen, this is nothing new to you, the controversy surrounding bottled water, but it's getting a lot more attention because of the drought. Talk a little bit about what happened in 2005 and, you know, when these companies come to your area, what is that process like? Do they reach out to you to let you know, or how do you find out about it?
Oh, no, they don't really reach out to the tribal people as much as they kind of wine and dine the level of, you know, high mountain communities that are looking for an income and looking for a replacement of maybe old-time logging, which was the case in McLeod, you know, that they were going to buy the old logging plant, the lumber mill area, and establish the huge building for the bottled water company. But also, you know, the area is that they were going to take the water from were two springs above it, and there are village sites, old village sites up there that would have been damaged. And in addition to our belief is that you don't dip into these sacred springs, these places that, you know, the water flows for everybody and have unlimited amount of power to take all of the water if you want to, but only a minimum is left, and then what you leave is wastewater, then why would anybody agree to that, especially in California right now? Why do we agree to allow them, just like Crystal Geyser coming in on Mount Shasta and tapping into a lava tube coming off of Mount Shasta, why would we as a public allow them to take pristine water, bottle part of it, which is in its process, pollutes the other part of it into wastewater, which they don't even know what to do with? Why would we do that? Why do communities do that? You know, and we're fighting against that now while they're saying, well, there's jobs, you know, 60 jobs.
Right. In fact, Food and Water Watch, Mark, had a piece about bottled water jobs a couple of years ago. And I was wondering if you had any updated numbers, because according to Food and Water Watch, the industry will come to town, especially towns that are struggling and desperate for jobs, and say that a lot of jobs will be created when, in fact, a typical bottled water plant with 24 workers will employ between 2 and 10 local residents. Does that still apply?
Yeah, well, we haven't done any updated data since then, so that's the most recent data that we have on that point.
So is this typical, Mark, that a company will go into a small town and, you know, reach out to the people who want the jobs but kind of ignore others who will not benefit from the industry coming to their area?
Well, in this case in McLeod, it was really the industry talking with the city leaders, and then this was being presented as a sort of fait accompli, but the community was not going to take it, and they organized and they protested what was going on. And after years of litigation and organizing and you know, thousands of comments being submitted, Nestle finally pulled out. You know, these kind of fights are, you know, happen in various communities across the country, because people are concerned, rightly, about the impacts that it's going to have on their water.
And so you've got communities in Shasta, and then now, according to the Merced Star, Sun Star, citizens in Merced are speaking out about this Ethos bottled water plant or I'm sorry, Ethos Bottled Water that uses the Safeway bottling plants. It's hard to sometimes follow the lines here. But can you talk a little bit, Mark, about other communities that are standing up and what sort of organizing are they doing?
Well, I mean, I'm not intimately familiar with the details of all these situations that you've mentioned, but I can tell you that in various places across the country, in Maine, in Michigan, in Oregon, and here in California, communities have organized around these bottled water facilities because they're very concerned about the impacts on their communities and the impacts on the water. And, you know, especially when we're in a drought situation, this is something that we really need to look at very closely. The water is precious. Water should be protected in the public interest. And the idea of bottling this product and, you know, selling it at such dramatic markups in a drought situation is really unconscionable. And I should say also that this is part of a larger fight over water privatization. Who should really control access to our water? For years, we've had a solid public water infrastructure. You know, 100 years ago and more, people had the foresight to create public water systems to bring clean, accessible water to the people. And bottled water is one part of an undermining of that system. And in fact, the bottled water industry profits and is projected to, you know, to profit more if our public infrastructure declines. And so it's in the public interest to invest in our water infrastructure, and bottled water really, you know, kind of cuts against that in a very significant way. So, you know, we believe in a society where everybody has the right to water, everybody has access to clean, accessible water for drinking and other beneficial uses, and that should be managed in the public interest, not for private profit.
And Kalene, what is the quality of your tap water like in the Mount Shasta area?
It's good in the Mount Shasta area now, but, you know, our concern is that, one, this is a sacred mountain, and this mountain is full of water, and as we allow bottled water companies up there, it's like at some point in time we have to say, not one more. There's just not enough water in there for one more bottling plant to be taking cold water off of a volcano and taking the cold water that runs down and it feeds the entire state. You know, we have to realize that where the water comes from is this mountain watershed area that fills the Sacramento River, it fills the McLeod River, it fills the Pitt River, that then fills the river all the way down and is then siphoned off to Fresno area. It's like people have to protect where that water comes from. They can't just say privatization is good, that all the capitalistic ideas is okay to continue taking pristine waters. And where does the wastewater go? Does it go back down into the water table of the mountain that then comes up somewhere? And, you know, we have to look at what contaminates our rivers. And when do we start addressing that and cleaning those rivers up and stop the pollution that continues it? You know, we're going to have to wisen up about that water is a public trust, not something that should be owned by everybody.
And hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Kalene Sisk is tribal chief of the Winnemem Wintu tribe. In 2005, Kalene and tribal members protested a plan by Nestle to open a bottling plant nearby. Mark Schlossberg is national organizing director with Food and Water Watch, and we'll be back after this.
We invite you to join our conversation today on Your Call here on KALW, local public radio. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. If you'd prefer to write us a note, then give us a call. The email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Our May campaign, the spring fundraising campaign, begins on Tuesday next week. Our first on-air fundraiser in 8 months. And you can give us a head start with a gift right now at KALW.org. Help local public radio grow and shrink the on-air campaign at the same time. Make an early gift at KALW.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll continue our week-long series on California's water crisis by talking about the new groundwater rules. Who had a seat at the table when that law was written and who was left out? These are the state's first ever rules for pumping groundwater. A number of groups are getting together to figure out how to preserve the depleted groundwater, and they include water agencies, ag, rural residents, tribal governments. Who has a voice in this process and who doesn't? That's tomorrow, and then on Friday, we will discuss media coverage of water issues. On Monday, we talked about power brokers, the power structure behind water. Yesterday, we talked about agriculture, and you can find those shows at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the billion-dollar water bottled water industry. Every year, Americans buy 50 billion bottles of water. A lot of that water comes from the most drought-ridden parts of the country. According to Mother Jones, if you drink bottled water, there's a good chance it comes from California. Arrowhead, Crystal Geyser, Aquafina, and Dasani collect water from the ground or the tap in California. And we're talking about this issue with Mark Schlossberg, National Organizing Director with Food and Water Watch. He runs their Take Back the Tap campaign. Kaleen Sisk is Tribal Chief of the Winnemem Wintu Tribe, whose ancestral territory is from Mount Shasta down the McLeod River watershed. In 2009, Nestle scrapped a plan to open a bottling plant after tribal members protested. Today, Crystal Geyser plans to bottle water and other drinks later this year at another plant at the base of Mount Shasta. And joining us now is Joe Doss. He's CEO of the International Bottled Water Association. The association's 640 members include U.S. and international bottlers and suppliers. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be here.
Nice to have you. So as you know, bottled water is getting so much attention because of the drought that we're in here in California. And we've got 108 bottled water plants in California. Why do so many companies choose California to bottle and sell water?
Well, I think obviously companies are throughout the United States bottling water. It's not just in California. And quite frankly, most of the water that's bottled in California is consumed in California. It just doesn't make economic sense for companies to truck and haul bottled water long distances outside the state. So most of the bottled water that's produced in your state is also consumed in your state. And, you know, I've been listening to the conversation, and it's disappointing to see that we're trying to pit, you know, tap water versus bottled water. We don't see it as a tap water versus bottled water issue. I think if people are drinking water, that's a good thing. And it is just not in the public interest to discourage people from drinking bottled water, because if you do that, then they might go to choose a less healthy beverage, which, quite frankly, uses more water and has a greater environmental footprint.
What do you drink?
I drink bottled water. I drink primarily bottled water.
Why?
I don't drink any soft drinks. So,
why don't you? Where do you live?
I live in D.C.
And why don't you use why don't you drink water out of the tap?
Because I enjoy bottled water.
You just think it tastes better, or?
I enjoy the taste, and that's the thing. If people want to drink bottled water, they should have that choice. If people like the taste of bottled water, they should be able to choose it. If people like the taste of tap water, then they should choose tap water. It is not a question of bottled water versus tap water. That's what I'm saying. It seems like we're trying to pit tap water versus bottled water. I think that we should focus on getting people to drink more water, whether it's filtered, whether it's tap, or whether it's bottled. You know, we face an obesity crisis here in the United States, diabetes, and you know, you're going to push people away from the healthiest packaged beverage on the shelf to choose a perhaps sugary beverage, which has greater health consequences. So I just think it doesn't make sense. It's not in the public interest to discourage people from drinking bottled water.
And Joe, I'm getting a couple comments on Facebook by people who say they don't drink their tap water because they think it tastes bad and they found contaminants in their tap water. Do you agree that as a country we should really you know, spend the money that's needed to upgrade the water system so the tap water actually is clean and healthy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are strongly in favor of a very strong public water infrastructure, no question about it. So we're supportive of that source because, quite frankly, many of our companies do use the local municipal sources for their water. Now, once they get that water from the local municipal source, they then take it and they purify it and filter it. A number of different steps go into it before it goes back into the bottle. But, yes, we're absolutely in favor of a strong municipal water system throughout the United States.
Mark, what are your thoughts on what Joe said, that he feels like this conversation is pitting tap water against bottled water?
Well, it's one thing to talk about water infrastructure, another thing to do something about it. There was a proposal that would have created a clean water trust fund to actually fund our water infrastructure, and the International Bottled Water Association opposed it in part because it contained a small tax on single beverage containers. Also, I will point out that a lot of the bottled water industry, particularly Nestle, relies on perceptions about a declining water infrastructure to fuel their sales. Kim Jeffrey, former Nestle Waters chairman, said that he believes that the tap water in the U.S. will continue to decline and that people will turn to filtration and bottled water for pure water needs. This is part of the business model. And so what we really need to do is have significant investment in our public water infrastructure. But I want to push back also on this point about bottled water being safer than tap water. That's just not true. There's been studies that have shown various contaminants that are done by environmental working groups and researchers in Wisconsin, among others, that showed contaminants in bottled water. And bottled water is not as strongly regulated as tap water. We really do need to be making sure we invest in a water infrastructure. But, you know, if people are concerned about their water quality, they should try using a home filter. We have a filtration guide on our website at foodandwaterwatch.org.
I'd like to comment on a number of things that were said that are just not correct. First of all, bottled water is as stringently regulated as tap water, and that's by law. There is a law, Section 410 of the Food, Drug, Cosmetic Act, that says that bottled water standards issued by FDA must be as protective of the public health as the tap water regulations issued by EPA. Just two different agencies regulate bottled water and tap water, but the standards must be the same. I'm not saying that bottled water is safer than tap water. What I'm saying is people should have the choice, and obviously people are making their voices heard in the marketplace. You know, bottled water sales and consumption continue to go up every year. Just last year, you've been mentioning a $110 million figure. In the United States, bottled water sales are $13 billion. And that's up 6% from the previous year. Our consumption in the United States is 11 billion gallons. That's up 7%. And per capita is roughly 32 gallons. That's up 4%. So bottled water is now the second largest product in the beverage category behind carbonated soft drinks. And according to the Beverage Marketing Corporation, by the end of 2016, we will be the number one beverage product in the United States.
Joe, can I ask you about safety, another question about safety, because there was a new report out by William Schoteich of the University of Heidelberg in Germany and found that plastic from the bottles are leaching into the water. He found containers made of polyethylene, PET, and he found that a lot of the chemicals in the bottle leach into the water, especially when they're sitting out in the sun.
Well, that's just not true either. You have FDA regulates all food products and all food containers. So before you can be marketed and before you can be sold in the United States, you have to use containers that are approved by FDA for food contact. The polyethylene phthalate, which is the PET plastic, has been used for more than 50 years safely. There is no concern about leaching from the plastic. These are just things that seem to get going on the internet and this various social media.
This is a professor. It's not just social media. I mean, this is a study that was conducted, a 6-month study that looked at 132 brands of bottled water from 28 countries.
Well, I don't know anything about that particular study, but I can tell you that the vast majority of scientists would say that the plastic used for bottled water is safe. If it were not safe, then FDA would take it off the market. It would have been taken off the market in various other countries in the United States, in the world. So the plastics used for bottled water, as well as other products, not just bottled water, by the way. You have other beverage products that use the same plastic containers. By the way, the difference between a bottled water container and many other plastic containers for beverages is that if anybody's had a bottled water lately, they can tell that they're very much lightweighting. We've lightweighted our bottles, and you can't do that with carbonated soft drinks. Carbonated soft drinks cannot lightweight because the carbonation would escape from them. So we're trying to do what we can. We're lightweighting our bottles, and we're doing many other things to try to reduce our environmental footprint. And we have, by the way, the lowest environmental footprint of any beverage product. And we've just done a recent study to show that we are the lowest water and energy user of all packaged beverages. We use 1.32 liters per liter, including the liter that you consume to make bottled water, and 0.24 megajoules of energy per liter, the lowest of any packaged beverage.
Joe, before we get to calls, I just want to ask you also, do you think that, you know, in the middle of the California water crisis and the drought, that so many bottled water companies should be taking water from the ground or the tap in California to then bottle it and resell it?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that whatever we do with regard to our water resource management, that we have to have certain basic understanding. It has to be based on sound science. It has to be multi-jurisdictional because groundwater aquifers don't follow any county, city, or state boundaries, and we have to treat all groundwater users equally. And so to focus on one industry that uses, by the way, in California, you said, I think at the outset, 0.02% of all the water in California is used by bottled water companies. So to focus on just that one industry, it doesn't seem a very good way to approach the problem.
Go ahead, Joe. Mark.
I can just mention, I think that this use of the total amount of California water is incredibly misleading and is sort of representative of a lot of things that have been said. Why would you look at the total amount of California water versus bottled water when you know that bottled water can have a tremendous localized environmental impact? It's irrelevant the percentage of the state amount of water. What's relevant is how much water is being taken out of a localized place. Equally misleading with statements about bottled water being regulated the same as tap water. The FDA regulates bottled water as a food, whereas the EPA regulates tap water under the Safe Drinking Water Act, and the Government Accountability Office, independent agency of Congress that does research and audits for Congress, found that the FDA generally accords bottled water low priority, and between 2000 and 2008 averaged less than 3 full-time employees inspecting bottled water plants, and some of these plants aren't even inspected every 2 to 3 years. So, you know, I think that this is, you know, talking about the total amount of water in California is really a smokescreen. And what we really need to do is look at the localized impact, which can be significant in places where it's being drawn out. Bottled water is not a good deal for consumers, and it cuts against our public water infrastructure, which we definitely need to maintain and invest in so that future generations can enjoy the same accessible tap water, clean, accessible tap water that we've been able to enjoy.
And by the way, I agree with you that we should look at it on a localized basis, no question about that. I'm just telling you, you're talking about the total water being consumed and used. I just wanted to mention that. And by the way, you mentioned the GAO report. Interesting that you should mention that. If you look in the appendix of that GAO report that you just cited, they did a state survey, state by state, all 50 states in the District of Columbia, to determine whether there were any illnesses associated with bottled water in the past 10 years. They found zero illnesses associated with bottled water. Now, if there is a study that was done by CDC and FDA scientists that found each year approximately 16.4 million acute gastrointestinal illnesses are caused by tap water in the United States. So if, you know, again, I think people should drink bottled water or tap water. You're trying to call into question the safety of bottled water, and it is just false.
And let me ask you, I want to bring Kalene Sisk into the conversation before we get to calls. Joe, Kalene Sisk is tribal chief of the Winnemem Wintu tribe, and in 2005, they protested a plan by Nestle to open a bottling plant in McLeod. Kalene and others say that when these companies, bottled water companies, come to the area, they don't talk to tribal members at all. Can you Can you comment on that?
You know, I can't. I really don't have any specific information about the facts concerning any of the bottled water companies that go into particular areas. You know, we tend to deal with broader issues, and we're just very much focused on sort of the larger picture issues. We're not. You would have to address those with the individual companies. I'm just not familiar with the way they have approached it.
All right. Well, Kellyn, do you have a question for Joe before we get to calls?
I'm thinking that, you know, the conversation between tap water and bottled water are way off course from what real water tastes like. You're talking about, you know, anywhere in the world you get a Nestle's bottle of water, it tastes the same. So why do you have to go to Mount Shasta or Poland Springs or anywhere else to bottle the water that's so pristine that it protects a volcano to be able to sell out there when you're going to filter it and add things or take things out of it that it isn't even really the water that you took?
Well, let me just say that people appreciate different tastes. People have different tastes, and so some like spring water, some like purified water, some like tap water, and it's up to them to choose. And again, it's about consumer choice. In many cases, the bottled water that comes out of the out of the ground, if you're called a spring water, if you see on the label of the product that it is a spring water, FDA has specific regulations about what you can or cannot do with that water and still call it spring water. In the case of spring water, the only thing you can do with spring water, as it comes out of the source, as it comes out of the spring, you can only disinfect it, and you can add fluoride to it. Those are the only two things you can do to your spring water. So people do appreciate the taste of spring water, and so they buy it for their taste. They don't like, in some cases, the taste of chlorine. They buy it because it doesn't have sugar. It doesn't have additives. It doesn't have caffeine. Again, it's part of a healthy diet. If people want to reduce the calories in their diet, water is an excellent choice.
Kellyn, did you want to jump in? Kellyn?
Yes. That doesn't answer the question. If it's pure spring water that people drink straight from the source, why are you adding stuff to it? And if they want that taste, why do you have to take that spring water?
Well, as I just mentioned, again, I'm not familiar with the specific products that you're talking about, what's coming in or what they're going to make. But I will tell you, if they're making spring water and they're calling it spring water, they cannot add anything to it. Nothing can be added to spring water and still be able to put spring water on the label according to the FDA regulations.
So you just said they could add fluoride and some other stuff.
No, they can add fluoride.
But that's
if they want to, and they can disinfect it, but that's it. They cannot add any minerals, they can't add anything to it. It has to be straight from the spring. They can disinfect it, or they can add fluoride, and some waters do add fluoride because consumers want it.
And so you're disinfecting pure spring water. How does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me that you're going to disinfect pure spring water that everybody drinks right from the source.
Well, it's just part of the process that goes into making sure that the consumers have the absolute safest product possible.
And then all of that disinfectant and all of that stuff goes into the groundwater or the wastewater from those plants.
No, actually, that's not the case. Most of the time, what you're talking about with disinfection is ozonation, and that doesn't have any byproduct. Ozonation just dissipates immediately after the water is ozonated.
That is Joe Doss. He's CEO of the International Bottled Water Association. Kellyn Sisk is tribal chief of the Winnemem Wintu tribe, whose ancestral territory is from Mount Shasta down the McLeod River. They fought Nestle in 2005. Nestle scrapped the plan to open a bottling plant in 2009, but Crystal Geyser plans to bottle water later this year at the base of Mount Shasta. Mark Schlossberg is National Organizing Director with Food and Water Watch. Today we're talking about the multi-billion-dollar bottled water industry. And let's go to Molly in Monterey. Hi, Molly. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Two points. One is that recently it's come to light that Nestle's been taking water in Southern California out of National Forest watershed illegally for 27 years on an expired permit. And the other thing is more fundamental. Plastic is simply it's a waste product from the oil and gas production. So all of the plastics profit, it's extra profit for the oil and gas conglomerates. Oil and gas conglomerates. And we just have to realize that fundamentally plastic is simply a waste product that's profiting these same people who are taking whatever they feel they deserve out of our planet.
Mark, do you have numbers on that? How much oil does it take to make a bottle of water?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Pacific Institute found in 2007 that the U.S. bottled water consumption had an energy input equivalent of between 32 and 54 million barrels of oil, and that's the equivalent of fueling between 1.2 and 2.1 million cars annually. And I also wanted to just, echo the caller about this Nestle plant in the National Forest in San Bernardino. The Desert Sun did a significant expose on it, which we discussed. And really, Governor Brown and the State Water Resource Control Board should put a moratorium or stop this bottled water from happening. And the National Forest should not renew this permit.
So what about the oil that is required to produce bottles of water, Joe?
Well, I think Molly made a very good point, and that is that the oil, if you will, that's used to make plastic, the substance that's used to make plastic, is just a byproduct of making oil. So we're not using pure oil. We are using the byproduct of when oil is made. So we're not using virgin oil. We are absolutely not doing that. So I think that's a valid – she makes a good point in the sense that I think that's a better use of that byproduct.
And we've got
whether one agrees or not with the oil being made, and that's a different issue. But if we are thinking about using resources wisely, is it not better to use the byproduct of oil to make the plastic containers?
Oh.
And let me just mention, I don't know anything specifically about the Nestle situation, except where I do know that there were others, not just Nestle, affected by that permitting issue. It was a backlog of permits. I understand that the permits have expired for a number of companies, but they're still valid, and so they still remain valid.
We have a lot of emails about waste because, as you know, 60% of bottled water bottles are not recycled. They end up in the ocean. I see them all the time at the park, in lakes, on sidewalks, you name it. What about all of the waste that is produced by the bottles?
Well, absolutely. We have a recycle rate of a bottle water has the highest recycling rate of all beverage products in the...
But what about the bottles that are not...
And that's 38%, and it needs to be better. And we are trying to do better. But again, we're the highest of all in curbside recycling systems. So we're doing what we can. We're trying to encourage consumers to recycle. We think it's very important, and we'll continue to try and get that number up. But again, keep in mind that we are not the only plastic container out there. You have to look at this as in a holistic way.
I understand that, but 60% of 50 billion bottles of water that end up in the landfill in the oceans is a massive amount of plastic.
But again, if you're looking at the problem, you're just picking on one particular product. But let's look at the other products in your pantry or in your refrigerator. How many other of those products are plastic? How many of your other beverages are plastic? We need to focus. Bottled water makes up only 0.03% of the waste stream in the United States based on EPA figures, 0.03%. So if you're going to deal with the problem in a holistic way, you got to deal with all the different products.
So what are you doing to increase that percentage?
Well, we are doing what we can. We have partnered with various groups over the past several years to try and increase the awareness of recycling. We've got a material recovery program that IBWA has adopted that we take and try to get it adopted in various states, and it calls for a partnership between the industry and the localities to try to increase consumer awareness and increase the recycle rates. Educate consumers about the importance of recycling. So we do have a material recovery program that we have adopted aimed at trying to raise the consciousness of consumers about recycling and increase those recycling rates.
Mark, do you want to jump in on that one?
Yeah, I think the larger point is that, I hear Mr. Doss saying, we're just a small part of this problem. We're just a small part of the water. We're just a small part of the pollution. The bigger picture is, this is a product that basically gives people something they could already get for almost free from their tap, which is water. And, you know, we're asking consumers to pay, or they're asking consumers to pay 2,400 times more for a bottle of water than drinking water. And as a bonus, you get pollution problems based on the amount of energy that goes into producing a bottle of water. You get pollution problems based on the plastic bottles that aren't recycled. You get environmental impacts on the localized water level. So the bigger picture is that, you know, bottled water is not something that is necessary. You know, our tap water, especially here in Northern California, is excellent. And we should really be, instead of focusing on trying to figure out ways for bottled water companies to make their product marginally less environmentally impactful, we should be focusing on building up our public water systems, making sure that we have strong public safe water for generations to come through good water infrastructure, and going in that direction so that everybody has access to water. So water is recognized as a human right, and so that there's publicly available water through drinking fountains and whatnot. We should be looking to eliminate bottled water because it does have greater impact than tap water, bad for the environment, and it's bad for consumers.
And what is the status of improving the water infrastructure, Mark? Because we're getting some emails from listeners who say that they feel like their water really needs improvement in their area. I mean, I was just in Chico, and the water tastes horrible compared to San Francisco. I'm talking about the tap.
Yeah, well, I mean, federally, there's a gap of about $34 billion a year between what's available to maintain our water and sewer systems and what's needed. So we desperately need to increase investment in our water infrastructure. There was a bill introduced a while ago that was discussed that would have created a clean water trust fund. That is what we need. We have a trust fund for transportation. We need one for water so that we have, you know, this investment in the infrastructure. I would say that that's still much more economical if people are concerned about their water. First of all, you can get your water information from your local utility. But if people are concerned about their water quality, the best thing that you can do is to get a simple carbon filter, a home filter. And there's information about filtration on our website, foodandwaterwatch.org. But yeah, we need to invest in our water infrastructure. We had people, you know, generations ago who had a lot of foresight to create a wonderful water infrastructure.
Mark Schlossberg is National Organizing Director with Food and Water Watch. Kalene Sisk is Tribal Chief of the Winnemem Wintu Tribe in Mount Shasta. And Joe Doss is CEO of the International Bottled Water Association. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. When California's new groundwater law was written, who had a seat at the table and who was left out? On the next Your Call, we continue our week-long series on California's water crisis by talking about the state's first-ever rules for pumping groundwater. The new law requires different groups to work together to figure out how to preserve the state's depleted groundwater. They include agencies, agriculture, rural residents, and tribal governments. Who has a voice and who doesn't? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show. Malihe Razazan is senior producer. And Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.